It's all right. Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you are here. You are so special, so loved, and so cared for. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And He's working in this place. And so this is a sermon prep at night before Sunday. And I'm going to be preaching on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. And I believe we went over that this past Monday. And I thought it was so impactful that I must share it with you guys and share it with other brothers and sisters in Christ who are also with us. Welcome, Jojo. Welcome, Lil. Sneakerhead, bro. Hey, hi there. I'm so glad that you are here. Hey, do me a favor. Throw that thumbs up. Let me know you're here. Yes, God is so good. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. Yes, amen. God is good all the time, God is good. Wow, He is great. He's generous, and He is our God, our Lord, and our Savior. So, today we're going to be talking about our identity in Christ. And it's going to be from 1 Peter. And Peter is one of the apostles of Jesus. Peter is one that actually rejected Jesus three times. He's known as the one who rejected Jesus three times. And then a rooster just crowed. And then he was in deep shame. But he did not give up. He did not commit suicide. Instead, he repented and turned back to God and recognized that he needed God. And so, God bless you guys, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, Ashlyn says, struggling with anxiety, badly, trying to ride it out, trusting the Lord. Yeah, Lord God, I pray that You would be with each and every one here. Through their anxieties, depression, through the difficult times, Lord God, let them trust in You, walk in Your ways, build their life upon You, and know that greater things are yet to come. All this suffering will come to pass, and these things will be times when it allows you to be refined so that you would be pure and made more holy and more righteous. You may be equipped with the things that you cannot get if you are not through this. So it's an experience, and we're grateful for it all. God bless you all. Amen. Georgina, welcome, welcome. And Kenzie, yes. And so, I'm going to read from 1 Peter, chapter 2, 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1, 2. Yeah, I'm turning it to it. Because we're going to read the Word of God. And the Word of God is alive and powerful. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Ooh. Therefore, rid yourself of all the malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so Peter, he's telling the people who are scattered all over, the believers who believe in Jesus, that they must strip off things and crave the Word of God. And things that they must strip off is malice, deceit, and hypocrisy. They must strip off envy and all slander, all evil speaking. And then, instead, they should crave one thing. And that one thing is the Word of God. It's to crave it, to grow in it. And also, the result is that you will taste the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the goodness of His love, the goodness of His graciousness, of His mercy, of His never-ending joy and peace that He gives each one of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, we can see how God is in control through it all, and that there is no one like You. And yeah, it's not easy. For example, when you're going through difficult times, like going through a loss, family loss, job loss, relationships loss, or just a loss in general, it's easy to feel bad. But in the end, God said to crave the word of God, to get some peace within your life. Amen. Wow. Glory to God. Wow. It's alive and powerful. I need to open my Bible. Thank you for the hearts, guys. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you for the love, for the care. And we're able to grow together. I'm trying to read the Word of God with you guys as we sermon prep for the next day. First Peter is actually found in the New Testament. And Peter means the rock. It's Cephas, or the rock. And Peter was actually like the leader of the pack. He was the leader of the 12 disciples. And he led them. They looked up to him. And they said, hey, what you say, what you do, we will follow. Because he was one of Jesus' right-hand men. He was one of the people, like the people who went to with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so as we look into this, let's just read the first 12 verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, 1 to 12. All right. So let's read it again. It said, rid yourself, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander, like newborn infants, long for pure and spiritual milk, so that it may grow into salvation. Oh. It may grow into salvation. Now that's a good one. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone. He's not a dead stone. He's a living stone. And though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, see that I am laying in Zion stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corners, and the stone that makes them stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to. But you are chosen race. I like this part. Your identity. You are chosen race. Your royal priesthood, your holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Amen. Wow. And once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Now you are God's prophets. Now you are God's messengers. Amen. So praise the Lord. And you are God's prophets. God's prophets. Now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Beloved, I urge you. I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh. To abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. And conduct yourself honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they may malign you as evildoers, that they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. Wow. Let me pray for us. Hello, Hannah. Thank you so much. God is so good. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we know that it's not easy to prepare for your sermon, for your word, to touch our students. But Lord, I pray that you guide me so that I may be able to reach people, reach the lost, and allow them to experience more and more of you. Lord, I thank you for your promises. Thank you for encouraging us to seek you, the living stone, which was rejected by others, but is chosen by God to build us up upon his firm foundation into spiritual houses. Lord, I pray that you bless everyone here with the word of God in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. And so, someone asked me, why am I streaming at 1 a.m.? I'm streaming now just so that I can prepare for the word of God with you guys. And yes, right now I'm just going to be preaching on this tomorrow. And so I'm just looking through it, reviewing it, and allowing God to speak to me and also speak to you, because he loves you so much and he cares about you. And some people just need the word of God. Isn't it great that we can just get on anytime, at night, during the daytime, during the morning when we wake up, and know that he's still alive, that he guides us into a relationship with him. Amen. Hey, thank you so much. The recording is recorded on YouTube. So I thank you so much for stopping by, and may God bless you in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I praise him for each and every one of you guys, for it's not an accident that you are here. It is by God's grace, God's mercy, that we are here to praise him, to glorify him, to live a life that is just worthy of his praise. Amen. And that's why we all need God. That's why we all need God in our life. Without God, we are empty. Without God, we're even more broken. Without God, we are aiming towards the wrong directions. But by the grace of God, we've been so, so blessed. Amen. Amen. Haha. Yeah, today you're going to go to church. Glory to God. So I'm just going to go and read some things, and we can meditate on the word of God together. Amen. So we already talked about stripping off the things that are bringing us down, and the things that are distracting us, the things that are just wasting our time, scrolling our life away, being addicted to our life away, gaming our life away, speaking, doing, wasting our time and life away. God does not want your life to be wasted. He wants you to be fruitful and multiply. And that's why it's so absolutely important to strip off the things of this world that is of deceit, of hypocrisy, of malice, of envy, and all evil speaking and slander. Amen. So, we must, number one, strip off all evil things. And number two, crave the word of God. Be hungry for it. Be hungry, so hungry that you hear, when you hear the word of God, it is sweet like honey. It is alive and powerful. And it is rich like gold and silver. And so, I believe that many of you guys would like to stick to the very end, because we know that God is able to transform you, to build you up, to encourage you, and to show you the right way. Just like newborn babies, they desire sincere milk of the word. They desire this pure milk, spiritual milk, that they may grow. And when they grow, that they may have salvation, it says in this translation. And so, when you taste it, you taste of the goodness of the Lord and his grace, his mercy, and his love. Amen. And so, we are going to be praising the Lord all the days of life, our life. And we know that if we have bad milk, it's going to taste sour. It's going to taste expired. And have you tasted that before? And sometimes there's like a little strip of goo inside. It just doesn't taste good. But God gives us this pure milk that really gives us so much flavor, so much nutrients that allows us to grow in his salvation. Praise the Lord. Ha ha. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, wow, geese. So let's move on to this second part. And this second part from verse 4 to 8, it really talks about coming to Christ, the living stone. It's a picture of Christ as the living stone, how he was rejected by men, but chosen by God. Rejected by people, by the world, but chosen by God. And so, this is a picture of Christ being the head, the cornerstone. And we, as believers, second picture, we are actually also living stones. And what do you think is going to happen if you are living stones? If you're a living stone and Christ is a living stone and he's been rejected by men and the world, then surely, do you think you're going to be rejected by men and the world? Yes, but the good thing, the beautiful thing is that you are chosen by God. You're chosen by God to walk in his ways. You're chosen by God to be built up on him. Amen, Sarah? Praise the Lord. So believers are being built into spiritual houses, an eternal church. Believers are priests with open access to God. You have access to the Heavenly Father. Can you believe it? Access to the Father who is King of King, Lord of Lord, Alpha, Omega, God who is creator and God who is above all things. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's everywhere. He's not tied down and limited and put into a box. Instead, he is the one that created all things. He's not put into time, matter, and space. Instead, he is the one that allows us to... He's the one that is above all things. And he created all things. Amen. So you are a priest. You have access to this God who has unlimited wealth, knowledge, and power. And when you tap into that wealth, knowledge, and power of God, he opens the windows of heaven, the levee of heaven, the floodgates of heaven, and floods it upon us so that our cup overflows. It's not half full. It's not just full. It's overflowing. It's overflowing. And it's for you. Amen. And believers, there's fulfillment of the prophecy of God. When you read the word of God, it says, "Behold, I lay in Zion, in chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded." Wow. And the third picture is that unbelievers are disobedient builders. Unbelievers disqualify the stone, Christ, as the foundation of their life. Christ is made the cornerstone anyways. He is the cornerstone of each one of our life. Charles, Sarah, Heth, he is our Lord, our God, our King. He is our cornerstone. He is our building block. And we build our life upon his firm foundation, upon and grounded on him, anchored upon him, rooted in him. Knowing that when we build upon the firm foundation, we will not be shaken by the world, by the devil, by the lies. We will not be shaken because we know that God's truth holds us firm, holds us fast, and it's all that we need. Amen. And so unbelievers, on the other hand, they stumble, they fall over the stone. The stone is useless to them. The stone does not bring them or give them anything. And the reason why is they disobeyed the message, the word of God. They rejected Jesus, and they said no to him. And during this life, you have a choice to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior or to reject him. When you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you live a life according to his word, according to his mission, according to his ways. And when you accept him, then in eternity, he will accept you and you will have eternal life in Jesus Christ. But if, on the other hand, you reject Jesus, you stumble over him, and you say no to him, then you will see your demise. You will see a downfall when you die in this life, this short life, 100 years of living on earth, and you die for eternity. You will be separated from him because you rejected him. You're not going to have that opportunity to get to him. But right now, you have the opportunity to repent and say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you all of my days because there is no one like you. And because you are the one that gives me life." Amen. And so, turn to God today. Build your life upon His Word, upon His truth. His Word is a tool for you to grow in Him, to build your life upon His love, His grace, His mercy. Robert, Jaden, amen. Glory to God. So Christ, He's the living stone. But how can a stone be living? It cannot. It is simply a picture of how God looks at Christ and His followers. They are like a building that is being built by God Himself. The foundation of God's building is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, Priscilla? Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And if a person wants to be part of God's building, then he has to place his life upon the firm foundation and cornerstone of Jesus Christ Himself. But note that this verse is saying that the living stone was rejected by men, was rejected by people, rejected by the world. When men looked at the stone, at Christ, it was not wanted. It did not fit into their plans. It was useless, unusable, unsuitable for what they were building, and it was not worth the price. So men, they rejected Christ because they wanted to build their lives upon what they wanted, upon their own desires, and they wanted to do their own things, and therefore they cast the stone of God aside, saying it's useless, it's not what you want. But note that the stone has been chosen by God, and it's been the very stone that God has chosen to be the foundational stone for life, for eternal life. And it's the only stone that will support and bear the weight of life. And note that this stone is chosen by God, which is the living stone. But what does this mean? God is eternal. Hence, the building of God will last forever and evermore. Therefore, the cornerstone laid by God is bound to be eternal. It shall never deteriorate or waste away. The cornerstone is living and shall exist forever and ever. Amen. And so this is a symbolism of the living cornerstone that signifies three things. Number one, the cornerstone is the first stone laid. That is Jesus Christ Himself. All other stones are placed after it. It is the preeminent stone in time. So it is with Christ. He's the first of God's new movement. He's the first. And that's why we must follow Jesus forever. Put Jesus first in our life. Because Christ is the captain of salvation. All others are crew members who follow Him. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For it became Him whom are all things, and whom are by who, okay, for it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and through whom are things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through salvation through suffering, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." You see, life is not easy. Life is full of suffering. Life has darkness and brokenness and sin all around. But it doesn't end with that. Because we have Christ, who's the captain of salvation. Captain, like a captain of an airplane flight. I'm your captain and I'm flying your flight. And I'm driving your flight. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's flying the flight. And you're to be passengers. And you're to decide whether or not you're going to get on this flight to heaven or not. Or you stay on the flight or on earth, which is going towards ruin and destruction. So Christ is your captain. And all crew members who follow Him will get on it. So you are the crew members. Are you going to get on top? Onto His boat? Onto His plane? The captain could be also a boat, on a boat. And so, the land is going to be destroyed. You must get on the boat, on God's boat. For the captain is waiting for you. He's leading the way. He's saying, "This is the way. Come on the boat. Come on the ship. Join me in this journey." And all who come on board with Jesus and follow Him will be saved, and they will experience eternal life. Amen. In Phoenix, amen. And then Christ is the author of eternal salvation. Your faith and all others are readers of the story. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And having been made perfect, he made all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." That's very interesting. And being made perfect, he became the author of salvation. It's like he coined eternal salvation of your faith. So when you have faith in him, then you receive that eternal salvation, eternal life, eternal presence of God. And all other readers are of the story. So those who read the word of God, those who believe in the word of Christ, are saved. So when Christ is an author, that means he writes down books, he writes down words, he writes down promises, and he coined how we are saved. How are we saved? It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his love, through his sacrifice. It's through him dying on the cross, being buried, and raising from the dead, saying, "I'm the resurrection and I'm the life," defeating sin and death, and then ascending to heaven, giving you salvation, giving you the Holy Spirit, giving you a friend, and giving you life. Amen. That's a very interesting thing. He's the author of eternal salvation, and unto all that obey him. Wow. Glory to God. And Christ, he is the beginning and end, and all others come after him and are under him. He says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "I am the Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, who was and is to come, the Almighty." Amen. And also in verse 21, verse 6 of Revelation, it says, "Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, and I will give to one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost.'" If you thirst for the spring of water of life, he will give it to you when you thirst for it. But if you don't thirst for it, then you don't long for it. You don't hunger for it. Then you won't get any peace of this spring of water of life. This is a free gift for you. The water of life. A free gift for you. That salvation that's free for you. That salvation that was paid by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have access to it. He offers to you this. He's everything. He's past, present, and future. And he gives you this gift. And all you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I accept it. I follow you. And I thank you with my life. Thank you for paying for my sins. Thank you for being my Lord, my God, my Savior." Hallelujah, Miriam. Praise the Lord. And then, Christ is the forerunner into the very presence of God. And all others enter God's presence after him. You see, all of us, we are following after Christ. Christ is the one that is the cornerstone. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author of eternal salvation. And he's the forerunner into the very presence of God. And all others enter into God's presence after Christ. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek was a king, I believe, a good king in the Old Testament. And so this shows how Christ is the cornerstone, the living cornerstone, the first stone laid. And it allows us to enter into his kingdom as we lay our stones upon his life. Amen, Tita? Glory to God. Wow, he is so powerful. And then, number two, The cornerstone is a supportive stone. The cornerstone is a supportive stone. Listen carefully. All other stones are placed upon it and held up by it. Christ is the supportive stone, and all other stones, our stones, are placed upon Christ, and we rest upon Christ, and it is the preeminent stone in position and power. So with Christ, He's your support, your power, your foundation, the foundation of God's new movement, of God's new covenant. You see, Christ is the head cornerstone. There is only one true foundation upon which man can build. All other things of the world, it crumbles. It gets destroyed. And all other stones in this world that are not laid upon Jesus Christ are also crumbled. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ himself. So we absolutely must know who the head cornerstone is. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must build our firm foundation upon his life. Because if you don't, then you will be a stone that is casted out, a stone that crumbles, a stone that is weak, a stone that's going to end up in eternal separation from God. So you absolutely must choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Christ, he's a supportive stone because he's the chief cornerstone upon which all others are fitly and formed together. All who wish to be fitly formed together have to be laid upon him. You see, we're stones and shapes of all different personalities, all different talents, all different gifts. And we absolutely must put our stones upon him, which makes us fit perfectly. In our weaknesses, God is made perfect. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, it says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You're built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Your body is a holy temple of God. And he built you together in order to have the Spirit of God, to have God, his presence, live inside of you, so that he may guide you, so that you may never be alone and he's your friend, and so that you may experience his love, his grace, his mercy, and so that you may be empowered by his Spirit. Amen? Glory to God. So he's the chief cornerstone that fits us all together perfectly. Without Christ, we will not fit together. You and I will not fit together. But Jesus is the one that unifies us, the one that glues us together, the one that brings us in fellowship, in love, in his presence. But if we're not in Christ, then how will we be able to fit each other? And that's why we put God first, put Jesus first in our life, because we know he fits all pieces together. Whether these two people have totally different personalities, but they both love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, then they will be able to work together and form a stronger team in order to go forth preaching his name, sharing his name, sharing his mission, and seeing beautiful things happen in the name of Jesus. And yes, your salvation comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. For without the Lord, I'm nothing. Without the Lord, I'm lost. Without the Lord, I am destined for ruin and destruction and eternal separation from God. But because of his love, For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, shall not die, and have that eternal separation from him, but have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. So he's the cornerstone. And then he's the living stone, which upon all others have been built upon, if they wish to live and be part of God's spiritual house. And all others have been built upon him, if they wish to live and have a spiritual sacrifice to be accepted by God. You want to be accepted by God? That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, which we read that we are living stones placed upon him, Jesus Christ. If we are not placed upon Jesus Christ, then we are dead stones. Then we are stones that crumble. Then we are stones that will not fit into the story of God's redemptive plan, of God's awesome plan. Amen. And so, you are the living stone. And number three, the living stone is a stone to which men must come if they are to become a part of God's building. It is Christ, to Christ, that you must come. No one can be a part of God's building unless he places himself upon the foundation of the stone laid by God. God accepts no one who refuses to be part of his building, who refuses to be part of Jesus Christ, refuses to follow him. And God is just like all builders. He has a foundation upon which all workers must lay their stones upon of their lives. So you have a choice. You have a choice to accept him or not, to be a living stone or to be a crumbling stone. You have a choice today. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them, they are compared to wise men who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, the flood came, and the wind blew and slammed against the house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock, the firm foundation of Christ, the cornerstone. And everyone who hears the words of mine, but does not act on it, and will be like foolish men who build their house on sand. And the rain fell, the flood came, and the wind blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and the fall was great." And that's why, if you don't want to see that destruction, if you don't want to see your house crumble like the foolish men, then you must build your house upon that living stone, upon the stone of Jesus Christ, upon his firm foundation. Amen? Wow. Wow. He's your firm foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except for the Spirit of God." And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. Everyone who knows the name of the Lord is abstained from wickedness." Is abstained from wickedness. And so we're really talking about how Christ is our firm foundation, how we absolutely need more of him each and every day. Without him, we're so empty, we're broken. Without him, we are lost. But with Jesus Christ, being our Lord, our Savior, being our cornerstone, we're made alive in him. We're living stones with him, and we are not dead. We are alive. We're not going towards ruin and destruction. We're going towards heaven, the promised land, somewhere where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more sickness and disease. You have been set free from it, Comey. Amen? Praise the Lord, Sarah. So, believers, there are a second picture that believers are this living stone. And remember, God is the eternal, which means that he is building the eternal. The foundational stone laid by him shall never decay nor waste away. Christ lives forever and ever. Therefore, you place your life upon the living stone of God, the living stone that supports and holds up for all eternity, and you become living stones. the stones that exist forever and ever. And note that there's three significant facts. Number one, believers are built up into this spiritual house. The picture of a church that God is building all over the earth. It includes all believers of all generations. It is a picture of what the universal church or universal temple of God is like. And note that God's house is a spiritual house. It's not a physical house. It's a spiritual house. What does this mean? It means God's house is a spiritual as opposed to physical. And a physical house is not permanent. It ages, deteriorates, wastes away, but not God's spiritual house. The spiritual world or dimension is a real world, the world that is permanent and eternal. Therefore, this spiritual house of God does not age or deteriorate or decay, which means two wonderful things, guys. First, when we turn to God, we lay our lives upon the stone of Christ, and we become a part of this God's spiritual house, right? And so we shall never die or waste away, because we shall live permanently, forever and ever in God's spiritual and eternal life. We shall have life and life abundant, life to the fullest, in Jesus' name. And secondly, there are many stones who are going to live forever with you. And it takes many stones to build a great building. It's the same, it's true for God's spiritual house. We are one of many who are placed into God's great spiritual house. And the point is, there's no room for pride, for ego, for arrogance, for envy, for jealousy, for criticism, backbiting, anger, accusation, discrimination, prejudice, or wrath among God's building. We must be in unity. There's no room for a stone to be plucked up over another stone and say, I'm a more important stone. No, each one of you guys are important to building the house of the Lord, the spiritual house of God. All living stones are needed to build God's house. In fact, the house cannot be completed unless there are enough stones to build it up. And there is a place for each one of you. And you are going to exist together. We are existing together forever and ever. And therefore, you are placed yourself and to take your place in the house of God. And you are to place yourself right where you belong and do your part in holding up the building. And you do not seek the place or position or function of any other stone, because each stone is important. I live stream, you watch, and you encourage me, and you say amen, and you say, you're doing a great job, Josh, and I thank you guys. And you guys are the ones that are witnesses and making sure that I'm not speaking crazy, blasphemy, crazy things. You're making sure that I'm speaking the word of God that lifts you up, that encourages you, that builds you upon the firm foundation of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, we can see this famous story from Sparta. A Spartan king boasts to a visiting monarch about the walls of Sparta. And the visiting monarch looked around, and he could see no walls. And he said to the Spartan king, where are these walls about which you speak and boast about? And the Spartan king pointed at his bodyguard of magnificent Spartan troops. And these, he said, are the walls of Sparta, and every man of them are a brick. Now, the point is quite clear. So long as a brick lies by itself, it is useless. If a stone is by itself, it is useless. It becomes of use when it's built into a building. That's why it was made, and it was being built into a building that realizes its function and reason for existence. So, it is with individual Christians to realize your destiny, that you are not meant to live alone. You are not to remain alone, but in His fellowship. Amen, Josiah. To be built into a fabric to edify the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love the light. It's my favorite. God is our light. And then, number two, believers are a holy priesthood. The chief functions of the priest is to stand between God and men, to represent men before God, and to present men to God. Man has never felt worthy enough to approach God. He usually felt that God was so far, so distant, so that unreachable. Therefore, Man has felt the need for priests to carry his case to God. And this point is to note that man's thought about God being far away and needs a priest, needs someone to be in between them, a godly person to represent them. That is not true anymore, because you are now believers, built up as a holy priesthood, and every single believer now are standing up before God as priest. You have direct access to God, and you can now approach God on your own, because God is not far off. He's just one prayer away. He's just one scripture away. He's just in the Holy Spirit, in you. He's not even any away. He's in you. Right? Glory to God. So any person who turns to God and lays his life upon the firm foundation of Christ is a part of God's spiritual house. And this person is the very house of God itself. And you can talk and share with God whatever you choose. And you can worship and praise God and cry out to God's help and deliverance anytime you wish. You as believer, you are now a priest before God. So how do you do God's will? You pray to him each and every day. You read his word. You know his promises. And you know his commands. His first command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And this is your first and greatest commandment of God. And number two is to love your neighbors as yourself. And then he also gave you the great commission to share about the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, I went witnessing at the mall. I shared with at least 12 people the word of God. Well, at least contacted maybe 15 people and then was able to share the gospel with half of that and share and pray with for half of that and also to give gospel track to even more. Right, Charlie? God loves you and cares for you. And that's why I want to be able to speak the word of God into your life. So, the priesthood of believers is one and great teaching of the scripture. That, just imagine, you stand before God as priest, as one who's been chosen and has access to the presence of God any time in the day. There's no reason whatsoever that you should ever be overcome by a problem or trouble in this life. For you are living in the house of God. You can approach him any time and receive whatever you need in demand in your life. Wisdom, provision, resources, or strength. And note that you are made priests before God. That you offer spiritual sacrifice to God. In the past, men brought sacrifices to priests, and the priests had to present their sacrifices to God. But now believers, they themselves are made priests for this very purpose, so that they may offer up their own sacrifice to God. Your own talents, your own time, your own treasures, you offer it up to God. So now you're giving it up to God. And know that these sacrifices are made acceptable only, listen carefully, only by Jesus Christ. If you just give it to God without Christ, then it's not acceptable. But if you do it with Christ, then it is made acceptable to God. And so this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 to 6, is very alive and powerful. And so it really changes us. And a person who has their life lying on the foundation of Christ, you trust him. You believe in his support and in Christ's power to make you part of God's house. And the only sacrifice that God accepts are the sacrifices that are made within his house. And that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, there's so much, guys. Glory to God. He's the cornerstone. He's the firm foundation. He's our Lord, our Savior. Wow. And I was focusing on the last part. And I love this part. Max, I love this part. To know who you are. In verse 9 to 10. Know who you are. You are God's people. Know your identity. When you know your identity, then in Christ, then the world doesn't have to define your gender, your who you are. You don't have to go through midlife crisis. You don't have to go through just like early teen crisis. You know exactly who you are. You let God define who you are. So listen carefully, because this verse is alive and powerful. Know who you are. So I'm going to read the verse, and I'm going to reiterate what it's saying. So in chapter 2, verse 9 to 10 of 1 Peter, it says, "But you are chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God, and you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy." Amen. So know what kind of people you are. I love those puffs. Amen. You are a chosen people. You've been chosen. Chosen by God. You've been elect. You are not an accident. Say, "I am chosen. I am chosen." Amen. You are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. A priesthood means that you have direct access to the Heavenly Father. Royal being prince and princesses, kings and queens. You have royalty. You are royalty. Say, "I am royalty. I am royalty." Because you are the sons and daughters. You are the children of the One Most High, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And if he is the king, then you are prince and princesses. You are kings and queens. You are a holy nation. Being holy means you are without blemish. You're righteous. You are set apart. You are a holy nation. Nation means that you're not alone, that you're one with other believers. Nation means that you are in a kingdom that is greater than just one person. You're not isolated. You're in a community. You're a holy nation. You're a holy nation. Say, "I am holy. I am holy." Amen. And then number 4, you are a people who belong to God, or you are his possession. So being people who belong to God, when you are his prized possession, that means he will take care of you. That means he loves you. That means he did not discard you, throw you away. So you are God's possession. Say, "I am God's possession. I am God's possession." Glory to God. I am God's possession. I love it. I love it. So know what kind of people you are. Know who God says you are. Don't let the world say you're unworthy. You're not chosen. Don't let the world say you're not royalty. That you don't have access to God. That you are unworthy. Don't let the world say that you're wicked. That you're meant to be isolated. No, you're meant to be a holy nation. Don't let the world say that you belong to the world. You belong to this thing, this game. No, you belong to God because he had chosen you, because you are his prized possession. And then know his purpose. What is your purpose? When you know your purpose, then you're going to walk in his ways, and you're going to allow him to make your life well, meaningful, purposeful. You're going to know exactly what you need to do. And your purpose in this word, it says to declare his praises. You declare. When you declare, you're speaking it. You're shouting it. You're singing it. You're praying it. You're sharing it. You're spreading the word of God. My purpose is to declare his praises. And what is his praises? What is his praises? His praises is his words. How he praises you. How he blesses you. How he gives you life. How he gives you more than enough. How he gives you relationships. Gives you a family. Gives you salvation and hope and joy and love. Gives you the Spirit of the Lord. How he gives you so much more than you can ever ask for. The devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I come to give you life, and life abundant, life to the fullest. I come to give you more, and I come to tell you your identity is in me when you put your firm foundation upon my firm truth, my words." So know your purpose. Declare his praises. Declare his truth. Declare his promises. And number three, know what happened to you, that you have become the people of God, that you have received mercy, that you received His grace, His love. You received something so great, so powerful, that it's too good to hold it in, that you want to share it with other people so that they may receive this same gift that was given to you. Right? This gift is given to you and given to others. You want them to have this same gift, to let Him bless those around you, not only yourself, but those around you. Amen. So I do look forward to seeing you guys in heaven one day. I do look forward to journeying with you guys as I do more live streams each and every day. Glory to God. Wow. Amen. Well, I think that is so powerful. It's so good. And I know that tomorrow's preaching will be great, isn't it? It's going to be amazing. So I give glory to God for His word, for His promises, for His guidance. Because without Him, I'm nothing. Without Him, I'm lost. Without Him, I'm just yapping. But by God's grace, He's given me a spirit of joy, giving me a spirit of wanting to save more souls and plant the seeds of the gospel and to say yes to Jesus forever. And so, I give you a big hug too. Amen. So, I want to pray over you guys. I want you guys to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So, let me bless you guys. So, Lord God, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for your provision, for being the cornerstone, for being our love, for being the one that chose us to be part of your kingdom, part of your royalty, part of your love, part of your grace. Lord, we are all so hungry for you. So that's why we're here, listening to your word, which is so sweet like honey, which is so rich like gold and silver, which is so satisfying to our hearts. We long for more of you, not just for on Sunday, not just for once a day a week, but every day we long to know more of you. We want to learn about your grace, your mercy, and we want to build our life upon your firm foundation. Lord, we cannot do this without you. So, we praise you. We give you our life. We commit to walking in your ways, to following you all the days of our life. Lord God, I commit to praying to you every day, to reading your word every day. Yes, you do, right? Commit to building His kingdom. Lord God, thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you so much for coming from heaven to earth so that we can go from earth to heaven, for dying on that cross, for raising from the dead, for raising in victory over sin and death, for being our almighty God, for being victorious. Lord, we live in victory, and we thank you so much for that. In Jesus' most holy name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to bless you guys. I'm going to build community here as well. And I love you guys. Sarah, Nandi, Kotia, God bless you in Jesus' name. Neil, Maduna, God bless you in Jesus' name. Raquel, Flavia, God bless you in Jesus' name. Kelly, thanks for the follow. God bless you in Jesus' name. Demon Slayer Fitness says amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. King B. Jesus says amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Max says amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God bless you in Jesus' name. Sneeze Baki in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Geese, God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mac Bunny, God bless you in Jesus' name. The Christian Guy 2K7, God bless you in Jesus' name. Nancido, God bless you in Jesus' name. Wow, God is so good. And God loves you. Gaming with Raven, it says, amen, Lord God. God bless you in Jesus' name. Baby Boss says, well, we love you for praying for us. Well, I love you. I do. God bless you in Jesus' name. God is so good and alive, and he's working in this place. And so he wants you to know that you are loved, you're cared for. Even though it's 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning, you guys are still here. And you guys are still hearing the word of God. That's something special. Anna Agiuska, God bless you in Jesus' name, says, amen. He is love. Jesus is love. Amen. United Hamster of Borneo says, do you love Jesus Christ? I love him with all my heart. He's saved me. He's given me more than enough. And so that's why I root my life upon his firm foundation. And so we know for sure to live is Christ and to die is gain. Hello, Tia. God bless you in Jesus' name. Kay says, amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Dark Horse, hello, good to see you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Wow, God is so good. And we know that there's no accident that you guys are here. That he's got good plans for you guys. And he loves each one of you. And I know that there is great things coming. And there is rest that can be found in Jesus. Hello, Steve. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. May you guys experience rest and peace. If you have any prayer requests, let me know. Yes. Huh. You love Jesus so that you are going to heaven. Well, Jesus made a way when there was no way. And he covered us by his blood. And so, we love him so much. Because without him, we are nothing. So, this is alive. This is powerful. And there's no one like our God. And so may you guys be blessed and experience more and more of him. Thank you for the like, for the subscribe, for the follow. Thank you for joining me in this live stream. We know that there's going to be more to come. And this is just a sermon prep. I felt the Spirit of the Lord here tonight. I really did. I felt the Spirit of the Lord. And I know it's based on his cornerstone, Christ alone, cornerstone. And so we have more to come, and I look forward to it. And we point others to Jesus. And Jesus, he never lets us down. Jesus never lets us down. He came through for us. He could have thrown down the cross and given up on us and called down the legions of angels, given up on humanity, but he did not. Instead, he loves you and cares for you. Amen. So now, I must go to sleep. And in the morning, I must prepare for this sermon. For this word of God. To let God be honored and glorified. For he's the cornerstone. This is pre-Sunday church. Yeah. Yeah. This is a Sunday sermon prep. And unlike other pastors, I don't really have the capacity to prepare like for the whole week, 20 hours, 40 hours for a sermon. Instead, by God's grace, he's given me the ability to prepare it in much shorter time, just preaching his word, preaching his love. Plus, I think by his grace, his mercy, I'm able to preach online, which allows me to also share and inspire others and be equipped with the ability to speak and share his love. Amen. So he's our Lord, our Savior. Oh, Baby Boss says, don't go. Man, you're not the first person. Earlier today, someone was like, don't go. But let me tell you, I'm going to be back. I know. And he loves you. And God is with you. I know he's with you. You're not alone. He's with you in the storms. He's with you in the fire. He's with you in those tough times. And he never lets you down. And that's why I impart the Spirit of the Holy Spirit to you. Jesus who lives in you. May the Holy Spirit bless you, be with you, guide you, lead you. Amen. We create a church anywhere we go. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, Jay, thank you for sharing God's word, Pastor. All glory to God. Max, thank you so much for all those hearts. I saw it earlier. And so I'm really thankful for your support, for your love for God, and for just the ability to give thanks to Him in all that we do. Amen. How old are you guys? I mean, well, Rokio, Baby Boss, are you guys like, I have a baby pan coming along, and it's going to be in less than 2 weeks. June 20th is the due date, but I believe the baby will come out very soon, very soon. Anytime. Got to be prepared for it. Amen. Kelly, nice. I'm in my 30s as well. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I thank you guys so much for joining me. You know, I don't take this for granted. I don't. For He is good. Pixel Flicks, I thought I saw you on my other account. On TikTok. And now you're on my YouTube. Hey, good to see you. Glory to God. Sarah, 40s. Cool. Rokio, it's a 10. And 36. And 19. Hello, brother. Hi, Jackie. Hello, guys. Wow, that's brilliant. We have people of all ages coming together to hear the word of God. Pixel Flick says 10 years old. Hey, Tyler. Yes, Jesus rocks. God bless. He's so good. Wow, you guys are so good. I'm 34, by the way. I'm 34. And so I've been here just praising God through my life. So stand firm in Him. You know, the best life you can live is in life in Jesus Christ. Anna Rokio says 10 years old, 10 years old. There's a 54 and there's a 33. Wow. And Jay, 46. Glory to God. You know, the average age of my channel is actually from 35 to 46. And then it goes down from there like a bell curve. And so I have all ages. And so we really have people of all ages, 13 years old. That's amazing. And you see, the word of God is for all ages. It's not just for the old. It's not just for the young, but for you. Baby Boss says 10 years old, 13 years old. Wow. And it's not for a specific ethnicity. At first, God was for the Israelites. The Israelites were supposed to point others to God. Like King Solomon, he had this great palace, and people came to find him for his wisdom, and then they acknowledged his God and worshiped his God, which is Yahweh. But then the Israelites, they dispersed, they disobeyed God, they were not able to point others to the one true God. And the devil thought he had everything set in plan. But Jesus came and changed the course of nature. And he changed the timeline. He was like a changing point in this history. That's why it starts from 0 AD when he was born. And changes the course of history. And what Jesus did on that cross really saves us. Jesus died at 33. Yes, he did. He said 35. He says, gaming says, I'm 9 years old, man. Ha, that's so cool. Someone says, you can ask me any question. You say, please don't leave. Ask me questions. Truth Seeker says, where are you from, Pastor? I'm in Fremont, California. My church is called Tree of Life Christian Church. And it's in Fremont, in the Bay Area, near SF. So we know that God is good. And so, yeah. Yeah. And then Romans chapter 11, the people of God are still Israel. Yeah. Jesus came. He's a Jewish man. And he came, but then, you know, the covenant of the Jewish people now are for the Gentile people because of what Jesus done on that cross. That's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Because of what he's done, now that same Abrahamic blessing and promise and covenant is ours as well. Amen. Where are you guys from? Someone says, I'm from Malaysia. says, I'm a Christian, praise God. Yeah. Jesus is the Passover sacrifice that unites us to Abraham's family. Amen. Just me. I see you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Truth Seeker says, I'm from Scotland. That's so cool. I watched so many of those movies from over there, from the old days, how they had the battles. And I love the war, the battle cry. I do, just being on fire. Jay from Canada. Yes. Glory to God. From South Africa. Yes. I lived in Taiwan for a long time. And so, yeah. Well, looks like 12 o'clock is nearing here. So, Demon Slayer from Portland, Oregon, says from Las Vegas, living in New Zealand. This is amazing, guys. So many people from everywhere. Kelly and Kwai says Hawaii. You know, I went to Hawaii for my honeymoon. Chicago. Chicago is a great city. I hear it's got great culture, great food. Yeah, Malaysia. I've been in Malaysia before because I went to Singapore, drove over to Malaysia, been all over Southeast Asia, like Korea, Japan, Thailand. Yeah, many, many different places. From the Philippines, I've been to Philippines too. Been to Las Vegas. Yeah, got some good shows. Yeah, glory to God. Someone says, bye, I will miss you. Hey, I love you. I'll be here. I'll be back. I'm not a robot. I'm not a bot. So I must rest as well. So yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone here. And I pray that your blessings come upon each and every one of them. That you protect them, heal them, give them provision for everything that they need in their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Well, for like, Panda out. I love you guys. Take care. Panda out. And then for TikTok, well, Panda out. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining. Thank you for everything. Thank you. Thank you. And then for YouTube, for Instagram and Facebook, God bless you. I'm in California. Yes, in the Bay Area. So may God bless you. Thank you guys for blessing me. Thank you for being here. Next streaming tomorrow, maybe in the afternoon of the California time. So yeah, maybe in 16 hours. Well, amen. God is so good. Enjoy and go like and comment those shorts. Be encouraged. Be pointed to Jesus and say Jesus forever, for he's good. Hello, Sophie. I was just going. I love you. Take care. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 43 people still here. That's amazing. You guys are awesome. The crowd used to just go down to 5 people, 2 people, and 0 people, and I would be preaching to the air. But now we have a crowd of people who are consistent here. So glory to God. Amen. Thanks for the like and subscribe, guys. I take care. I gotta go. It's midnight. God bless you. Panda out.